Well, welcome to you if you're new with us tonight. It's fantastic you can be here. My name's Dave, and we're doing a series at the moment called Super Jesus. And so this week's part four. But from that question you talked about before, during high school, one of our greatest desires, and I know one of your greatest desires, is to belong, is to feel accepted, is to feel like you fit in. There's one of our greatest desires when we're at high school, and that's why we have subcultures. We slot into those subcultures and we feel like we belong. Okay, maybe most of the school doesn't like us, but the other 12 emos at school, they like us. Maybe most of the school doesn't like you, but your surfing mates, they love you, and you all love to hang out with each other. Maybe it might be that most people think that you're annoying, okay? But when you're hanging out with your plastic girlfriends, when you fit in, you belong, okay? And your greatest desire, and most people at your high schools, is to fit in, okay? And so that's why we have emos and surfers and homeboys and the MySpace subculture and bimbos and skaters and plastics and punk rockers and pop princesses and whatever else you want to think of. That's why we have subcultures, because we have this great desire to fit in. Now, tonight we're going to think about fitting in, and we're going to think about belonging. And so we're going to continue our series in Super Jesus. And so what we've done over this last term is we've looked at the same passage every single week. And basically we're looking at a verse a week. And in this passage we see some incredible things about Jesus. Can you remember the context? Who's the author of this book to the Colossians? Paul is the author. Who's he writing to? The Colossians, the church in Colossae. Basically, Paul went into this church, okay, this area. He's taught them about Jesus. People have become Christian, okay, and then he's left, and some other people have come in, and they've said, great, you're Christian, fantastic. Now you've just got to move on to this next thing. Now you've just got to move up to this next level. What does Paul say? No. No, that's not what you've got to do. What you've got to do is keep trusting in Jesus. And that's really the big idea of Colossians. Just like how you became a Christian, you keep being a Christian by keeping on trusting in Jesus. And so what we've been looking at with the Super Jesus series, these verses here from verse 15 to verse 23 are jam-packed full of amazing things about Jesus, full of incredible things about who he is. And so what Paul's doing here to the Colossians is saying, no, you don't need to go beyond Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. And so he lists a whole bunch of things about Jesus and how supreme and how super he is. Week one, can you remember what we looked at about Jesus? Super Jesus. Super Jesus, part one, what was it? Have a look in verse 15. Yep. He is God. The very first week we looked at verse 15 and saw that Jesus is God. Okay, we saw that he was the most important because he is God. Week number two, Super Jesus part two, what do we look at? Verse 16. Other than Chris. Oh, sorry, Chris, I'm really sorry. The voice came from the same direction. Other than Brittany? Thanks, Brittany. Week two, we saw that Jesus is the creator. And we saw that all things were made by Jesus and for Jesus. So we looked at our purpose and that the reason why we exist is for Jesus and is for him. Week number three was only last week, verse number 17. We looked at something else. What was it? What was that? He's what? He's before everything. He's in control was the key words we looked at. Last week we looked at how the whole reason why the world keeps spinning, the whole reason why your hearts keep beating is because Jesus is actively involved in sustaining and keeping creation in motion. This week, we're going to talk about another aspect of Jesus from verse number 18. And so the big question, just like every single week, the big question is, what makes Jesus so super? What is it that makes him so impressive? What is it that makes him so much more impressive than any super, mega, action, awesome hero ever before? And in answering that question, what we're going to do from this passage, we're going to look at two things. The first thing is about us, and the second thing is about Jesus. So the first thing. The first thing is that Christians are members of the one body. Let me read to you verse 18 again. It says, and Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. You see, in that verse there, it talked about, at the start there, and he's the head of the body, the church. It talks about this one body. Who is the one body? Can you see who it is there? The something. Yep, Royce? The church is the body. The church is the one body. Now, when we say church, we're not just referring to Central Coast Evangelical Church. We're not just referring to Byron Bay Baptist Church. We're not referring to Annandale Anglican Church. We're actually thinking about all Christians from all churches, all people who follow Jesus, the big church of every follower of Jesus ever. Okay, and it's saying that we're all members of the one body. Later on in chapter 3, verse 15, it describes Christians as members of the one body together. So here in chapter 1, we see this idea of one body, and in chapter 3, we see the idea of Christians all being members of the one body. Have you ever thought about that before? Whether you like it or not, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to the other members of the body. You belong to other Christians. Turn, have a look at the person on your left. Have a look at the person on your right. Have a look at the person behind you. Have a look at the person in front of you. Have a look at the person on your right. Have a look at the person on your left. Have a look at yourself. Have a look at... there's no one else in here. Have a look up the front of me. Hey, hi. You see, if the people around you are Christian, that is, if they're followers of Jesus, you belong to each other. Can you turn to the person beside you and say, I belong to you, man? Okay, turn the other way, and on the count of three, one, two, three, I belong to you, man. And if it's a woman, say, I belong to you, woman. Okay, one, two, three, I belong to you, man or woman. Okay, you guys, if you're a Christian, you belong to one another. You're part of the one body. We're not just part of the same family, but it actually says we're part of the one body. Okay, and I think the Bible does this on purpose, and it describes a body for a good reason. Why? Because I think it's easy to understand. We can all picture what a body's like. Why? We've all got one. We've all got an arm. Wave your arm at me, okay? No, that's your hand. Wave your arm at me. We've all got feet. Can you kick someone with your foot that's nearby? Just so that you realise you've got a foot. Okay, we've all got a bum. Can you hit your bum? Wait, can you do this? And then go... Yeah, hot bum. Okay. We've all got hands. We've all got elbows. We've all got hips. We've all got skin. That's our biggest organ in our whole body, is actually our skin. Have you seen how big it is? It covers the whole of you. It's fantastic. We've all got a spleen. Can everyone put their hand on their spleen? Does anyone know where the spleen is? Okay, a few people do. Someone's touching their head. Someone's touching their foot. No, I didn't say put your hand on your brain, so get your hand off your foot. The gallbladder. Who knows where the gallbladder is? Just above your stomach. Yep. You see... It doesn't take long to work out that you've got lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of different members in your body. Okay, keep your bodies to yourself right now. It doesn't take long to realise that there's lots of different parts of your body, and what do they do when they're together? Well, they sort of make a body. Like your arms and your legs and your chest and your... gallbladder and your sternum and your Achilles heel and everything, when it's joined together, what does it do? It's part of the one body. There's different members made up of many different parts. If you're a Christian, the Bible makes it clear that even though you might be different from the person on your left, even though you might be a bit of an emo, even though you might be a bit of a surfer, if you're a Christian, no matter how different you are, no matter how different you are, you're part of the one body. Now, if you've always wanted to fit in at school and you haven't, maybe you're on the outer a little bit, maybe people pick on you a lot, you realise that if you're a Christian and you're amongst Christians, you'll automatically fit in. Okay, some people might say mean things to you from time to time, but the fact is, if you're a Christian and a follower of Jesus, you're part of the one body. You're part of the one body. One more time, just quickly turn to the person beside you and say, I belong to you, man or woman. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Now, there's the first thing, okay? That was the thing. Guys up the back, you sit up. Thanks. There's the first thing. If you're a Christian, you're a member of the one body, okay? You're a member of the big church, and we all belong to each other. Just like parts of our body belong to our body. If we're parts of, if we're Christians, we belong to each other. So there's the first thing. The second thing to say, and actually even more importantly, is that Jesus is the head of our body. You got that? It says it in the verse there. Jesus is the head of our body. Let me read verse 18 again. It says, and Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. You see what it's saying? Jesus is the head. Okay, can everyone touch their head? Okay, this bit here is pretty important when it comes to your body. Okay, that's the bit that stores your brain. That's the bit that sort of sends all the signals to your heart to say, keep beating. That's the thing that when you go to kick a ball, it sends some things down and back up to say, kick and moves. I'm really scientific if you have never worked that out before. But the brain's pretty important. And so what it's saying is that Jesus is the most important member of the body. He's the head. He holds the whole body together. He's the one, in verse 18 there, who's the firstborn from among the dead. That is, he's the first person to have died and risen again. He's the one who's supreme, as it also says there in the verse, and it's said it a few times over the last few weeks. You see, if you're a Christian, the reason why you can belong to each other is because Jesus, the head of our body, died to make us into his body. Jesus died to gather us together. And the whole reason why we can belong to each other is because Jesus is our head. Now, I want you to think for a moment what our youth group would be like if we didn't talk about Jesus. Maybe you'd like it. Maybe you don't come here to hear about Jesus. Maybe you're not a Christian. My guess is if you're not coming here to hear about Jesus, you're probably not a Christian yet. You may not have heard enough about him yet. But what would happen if our youth group stopped holding fast to Jesus? We'd actually cease to have any real impact. We might keep getting bigger. We might be able to fill this room with thousands of people. Maybe not this room. We might be able to fill a room with hundreds of people, and we come along and have a great time. But you see, if Jesus isn't our head, if we don't firmly cling on to the head of our body, we're ineffective. In John chapter 15 talks about Jesus is the true vine and that we are the branches. And do you know the only way to keep branches alive? You keep them attached to the vine. You keep them attached to Jesus. Apart from staying stuck in Jesus and connected to Jesus, we can do nothing. Now, I was looking on the internet this afternoon. That's the place that you do all your good research. If you haven't yet worked that out, Google is fantastic. Now, hand up if you've heard of Mike the Headless Chicken. Okay, a few people have. Look him up later on, Mike the Headless Chicken. You just write Headless Chicken, it'll probably come up at the top of Google. But Mike the Headless Chicken, in 1945, the family that owned Mike the Headless Chicken, before he was headless, they decided they were going to kill him. Okay, they got the axe out. It's more of a chop. Yeah, it's more of a chop than a whoop. Chop! Okay, they've gone to chop the head off of Mike, their family chicken. And Mike actually lived without a head for another 18 months. Have you heard this story before? Mike the Headless Chicken went on and lived for another 18 months. I don't know why they didn't try again and kill him and have him for dinner anyway, but they probably had him for dinner in 18 months' time. Now, chickens can sometimes, like normally, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but chickens actually can run around without a head for maybe 10, 20 seconds. In the case of Mike the Headless Chicken, he ran around for 18 months. That was a bit weird, but generally, maybe up to 30 seconds. You chop the head off, okay, and it doesn't make the noise anymore, but it still makes the flap, 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 flap. That's running around like a crazy chicken with its head cut off. Now, somehow it's all the nerves are still sort of twitching. I don't know how it works. But basically, the chicken's dead, okay? It might still be running around, but it's just delaying the inevitable. It's dead, okay? If we as individuals, if we as a church, as if we as a youth group, if we don't stay connected to Jesus, you know what we're like? We're like headless chickens. We're good for nothing. We might be eaten in a few minutes, okay? But if we don't stay connected to Jesus as a church, as a youth group, as you as an individual, we're good for nothing. We're just delaying the inevitable. We're dead if we don't stay connected to Jesus. Now, very quickly, just the context of Colossians, if you can remember it, there's some false teachers who have come in and they've claimed to have some type of authority. And do you know what Paul says? No. Okay, that sounds a bit like the act from before. He says no. What does he say? The whole way through Colossians chapter 1 here, he says Jesus is our authority. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is our creator. Jesus is our head. He's the one in charge. He's the one that holds us together. Jesus is our ultimate authority, and we're to listen to him. Not to some crazy teachers that come in, but we're to listen to him. And that's why we bring our Bibles to youth group. If you own a Bible, bring it to youth group. If you don't own a Bible, come and see me and I'll point you in a direction to buy one. If you can't afford a Bible, come and see me and I will buy you a Bible. The reason why we bring our Bibles to youth group is because I don't want you to trust everything I say or whoever's giving the talk or your Bible study leader on a Sunday morning. I don't want you to trust everything that they say. I don't want you to trust me just because I'm smart. I don't want you to trust me just because I'm good looking, okay? They're not reasons to trust me. You see, there's sometimes I might actually get it wrong. And that's why we need to keep going back to the Bible. Because where we sometimes might get it wrong, Jesus never gets it wrong. Jesus is the creator of the universe. Jesus is the head of our body. Jesus is the head of the church. He never gets it wrong. Back to our big question as we close. What makes Jesus so super? It's the fact that he's the head of our body. It's the fact that he's the head of the church. It's the fact that he's the head of this youth group. Andrew Hurd isn't the senior pastor of our church. Jesus is the senior pastor of our church. Jesus is the senior pastor of every church. Jesus is the head of every single church. I want to encourage you tonight to not be a headless chook. I don't want you to be a headless chook. I want you to stay connected to your head. It's crazy to run around without a head. I want you to stay connected to Jesus. And there's three things really quickly I want to encourage you to do. Number one, listen to him. Okay, if Jesus is your head, when the brain says to the foot, kick, okay, it listens to it. When Jesus says things, we need to listen to him. We need to read the Bible. We need to be those who respond to him in prayer. There's the first thing. The second thing is keep coming to youth group. You see, what we want to do every single week at youth group is point you to Jesus. Is point you to Jesus. Is point you to Jesus. He is the head. He is our head. He is our authority. He's the one that holds us together. And the third thing I want you to do is keep living how he wants you to. If you keep reading the Bible, if you keep coming to youth group, you'll keep hearing how Jesus wants you to live. You keep hearing what it means to live in response to his death and his resurrection. Can I encourage you to do those three things? Listen to him, keep coming to youth group, and keep living the way that he wants you to. Well, we've looked at two things tonight. The first thing, we're members of one body. The second thing, what was the second thing? Jesus is the head of that body. Okay, there's the two things we've looked at. If you want to belong, if you want to fit in, let me encourage you not to look to your mates at school, not to look to your emo friends, not to look to your gothic friends, not to look to your surfer friends, not to look to your homeboy friends, plastic friends, bimbo friends, skater friends, punk rocker friends, pop princess friends, MySpace friends, whoever it is. Don't look to those people. The place where you will truly belong is with other Christians and ultimately with Jesus himself. So stay connected to him. Well, each week we finish just by reading the last three verses, and I want to read them to you again. Because I want to really encourage you tonight to keep trusting in Jesus. And so verse 21 describes what we were. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So that describes what we were. We were enemies of God. But have a look at verse 22. It describes what we now are. It says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. That describes what we are now. We were dead. Okay, we've now been forgiven. We've now been reconciled back to God because Jesus has died for us. But verse 23 starts with a word. What is it? Verse 23 starts with the word, what is it? It says, if. It says, you were dead, you are now alive, if, verse 23, you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Can I encourage you tonight to keep trusting in Jesus? It's in Jesus that you can be brought from death to life. It's in Jesus that we have the head of our youth group, the head of our church, the head of our body. If you're not a Christian, if you don't follow Jesus and you're just not quite sure about these things, tonight might be a great opportunity to become a Christian. You might like to talk to your leaders about that shortly, what it means to become a follower of Jesus. If you already are following Jesus, can I encourage you to keep following him? And I'm going to pray that God would help us to do that. How about you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and we thank you for the many, many great things that we keep learning about him in Colossians. We pray that you'd help us to keep taking these things seriously, and we pray that each week as we look at these verses, our view of Jesus would be enlarged and that we would love him all the more. We thank you that he is our head. We thank you that we can be members of the one body, and we thank you for the way in which he keeps us together. We pray that you would help all of us to keep trusting in Jesus. We pray that you'd help us to all keep trusting in him, to keep relying upon him. And Father, we pray for those here tonight who may not yet know Jesus. We pray that tonight they would come to put their trust in him. They would come to see that they can be made alive because he died in their place. Father, we pray now as we catch up in our small groups that you'd help us to encourage each other. And we pray this for the sake of our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, what I want you to do is split up into groups. If you don't know which group you're in, come and see me. There's just one simple question. Shh, boys. What will it look like to stay connected to Jesus for you? Think about what it will look like at school. Think about what it will look like at home. What it will look like at youth group. What will it look like in your sporting team? What will it look like to stay connected to your head, Jesus? There's the question. Come and see me if you don't know where to go.